Monster Hits for Gila County. Gila 101.9.
Well, it's just about 5:30 and the long-awaited monthly meeting for Chairman of the Board of Supervisors, Tim Humphrey, who joins us. So, Tim, thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's nice to get out, and I used to have my public meetings, and we kind of stopped those through COVID. And so when I got back, I thought we would try being on the air, and so here I am to try to be informative and get in front of the people and let them know kind of some information and be available if they would like to call in. And with that said, is there a call-in number for someone's out there you've been advertising? If they're wanting to ask or tell me something, do we have that number?
Absolutely. 888-876-5593. That's 8888-ROLLYE.
Oh, okay. Yes. Good. That works.
It's toll-free from no matter where you are. And we're live, of course, on Gila's Kiss FM. And you know, I do so many stations, I forgot our dial position. 101.9. There
101.9, yeah, because I have people asking me so they can listen in. And so, yeah, it's 101.9. And if they've got something to say, they're welcome to call.
Oh, absolutely.
And what I did is the big thing has been the floods and things. So I asked Carl Malford with our emergency services to call in and have some time on the on the air to kind of let people know what he's been doing, and he'll call in a minute.
No,
and
he did. He's waiting. He's waiting on us. Yep.
Okay. Well, if Carl's waiting, then before I get into some of the things I had on the census and things of that nature, Carl, good evening. Glad you could join us, and kind of let people know what's going on with emergency services and what we're doing to help the flood victims and what they can do to help us help them, because if they don't get with us, then we don't know they need help. So if you're on, go ahead.
Absolutely. Can you guys hear me okay?
We hear you fine. Do you hear us?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So for the listeners, my name is Carl Melford, the emergency manager for Gila County. So to explain what we've got going on, I think I first need to kind of touch on House Bill 2001. So typically in a disaster, if there's a state declaration, what that means is it unlocks what's called a public assistance grant. This is a grant that allows local government, county and local government, the opportunity to reimburse some of their costs lost in a disaster. And it's usually around $200,000 that is eligible, and it's a 75% reimbursement, which means we pay a quarter on the dollar for everything that's an eligible cost. House Bill 2001 was passed this year. This was in an effort to help mitigate future fires and post-fire flooding. This was a statewide bill, but it's $100 million. So we've been finding ways to make all of our costs eligible under this $100 million and try to get some of that state tax money back to Gila County. One of the biggest ways that we're doing that right now is the private property debris removal project. So what we're doing is folks that have flood debris on their properties are getting with one of the local contractors, getting a quote. The contractors all know the process, and the contractors are submitting the quote to us. We send out an inspector to go do a site visit. We approve the project. The work gets done, and the bill gets covered by Gila County, who's later reimbursed by the FFM, who is the basically the secretary for the House Bill 2001 money. So it's been hugely successful so far in paying for a lot of projects, such as hiring J.E. Fuller, who's our hydrology company, who installed the rain gauges that helped us with the early warning systems, and purchasing response equipment for not only Gila County, but City of Globe and Town of Miami as well. So right now, we have surpassed $5 million spent out of that House Bill 2001. That's 100% reimbursable. So, again, for comparison, the typical disaster declaration unlocks $200,000 at a 75% cost match. This is 100% reimbursement, and we're over $5 million now in projects that have been for the residents of Gila County. So that's essentially what my team is working on right now, Supervisor, unless there's any questions.
Well, yeah, one, and to receive money for a project of that, you needed to be in a flood zone. So, like if you said flood debris, so it had to be in a waterway. Is that correct?
That's correct. It has to be in a waterway that is affected by a fire that was active after July 1st of 2020. So this is basically bushfire, Telegraph fire, Highline.
How can people? How can people who don't know if they are in a flood zone ascertain that?
So they can call. We have. I'll give you the number right now. We have a call center open. 1 second, and I'll pull up that number.
Okay, and that House bill was introduced by Governor Ducey, and he put the state of emergency after the fires, knowing that the floods were coming. And thank goodness for that, because like you said, the normal funding is like $200,000, and we surpassed that a way long time ago. So if it hadn't have been for that bill, we wouldn't be able to have the funding that we have for the projects. And that particular project is just for exterior, for yard and getting debris away from your home and cleaning up after that. It's not anything for interior. Is that correct, Carl?
That's correct. However, if somebody had flood debris inside of their home, they could remove it from the home themselves, place it outside, and the contractors could pick it up, and we'd cover the contractor and dump fees.
Like carpet and furniture.
And that phone number...
Okay.
Exactly. If there's furniture, drywall, whatever, they can take it outside and it can be hauled off.
All right.
And that phone number for information is 928-910-4009. And once you get into the menu, it's option 4.
Okay, option 4. So it's 928-910-4009.
That's correct.
And option 4. All right, so it's got to be exterior, but that's a real good point. If you have interior damage, as long as you haul it outside, it will be, in fact, collected. Now, obviously, it won't be mitigated because whatever's going on inside your home is not covered by this grant. Now, for people who do have interior damage, are they on their own? Is there anything that covers them?
Carl, you want to cover that, or you want me to, with the Salvation Army that the local team has kind of put together?
Yeah, if you'd like, Supervisor, we can both kind of tag team that answer. But yeah, I'll let you talk about the Salvation Army.
Go ahead, yeah, because we were talking about how we could get, because there was a lot of people calling and wanting to help, and it's real hard to organize individuals who want to help for the day. So we were trying to get everything kind of funneled into one organization, which ended up being the Salvation Army. And once our local area, they're always willing to help, and so we came up with what we could do for the people to help the people themselves, and what we came up with is with the United Fund. Is that correct, Carl?
Yes, United Fund and Salvation Army.
United Fund and Salvation Army, yeah. And so the mines, and there was a lot of other donors, and if Carl has a list of those, that's fine, but the local area came up with funding to help the local people, and I believe the kind of the limit is $2,500 per household, and that can be, that's a case per case basis, and that's handled through the Salvation Army, and that's only in this local area, only the Globe, Claypool, Central Heights, Miami area. This doesn't go to the flooding out at Roosevelt or Tonneau Basin, and I've tried to work on something to kind of expand that. But being it's been local donors, that money's spent local, and that's for interior, like if you want carpet or if you need some help with interior drywall or things of that nature. That's what this funding was set up for, to help people with the interior of their projects.
Phone numbers or any
and
way
that,
contact?
Yeah, the phone number is the Salvation Army, and that contact number is 928-425-4011.
Okay.
And did that light any fires, Carl, on anything else that you wanted to go over? Do you have a list of people that we've been able to help? Where are we at on contracts? It's got to be over 50 people by now. What are we doing with contracts? How are we going? Where are we going with that?
So far we've got 75 open cases of people that are in different stages. I think we've got around 20 that are complete, which means that the debris has been entirely removed and the contractor has been paid. So it's moving along pretty good now. We're limited by the number of contractors, of course. These projects, a lot of them are pretty big and lengthy. But people are getting taken care of, and it's moving along pretty well.
And so the idea of having things done overnight doesn't happen. So we ask that you have patience when you call this number, because Carl, they call the number, leave a message, and then they contact their contractor, get an estimate from the contractor, and then get back with you. And then you have a team that goes out and takes pictures of the property with the contract, and then it's brought back to you and okayed before the process continues. Is that right, or do you want to add something to that?
That's correct. And our call center is for information to guide folks through this process. So if they're listening to this right now, they can completely bypass calling the call center and get with one of the local contractors. If we have time, and I'll leave this up to you guys, I can provide that list of contractors their phone numbers.
By all means, and I should mention that this show is archived, and it will be on KQSS.net in perpetuity. It's streaming now, people may be listening online, but I archive it and I put it there. I also replay it on KJAA on Sunday mornings. So if somebody's listening now and can't write down the numbers you're going to give us, they can always go to KQSS.net and listen to the whole show again.
And I'm going to jump in too. And if you're not on the list, if you are a licensed contractor, licensed and bonded to do the work, and you're not on the list, you can get on the list. This list was not put together to leave anybody out, but you do have to be licensed, bonded, and insured, correct, Carl?
That's correct.
So okay, who do we have?
Go ahead.
All righty. So no particular order. I'm just randomizing them here as we do when people call in. Sierra Peak, and that phone number is 928-243-7415. Valor Specialties, 928-970-1286. CDX Contracting, 954-868-3070. Klein Excavating, 928-243-7415. Four Winds Contracting, 928-200-3608. Barcone Corporation, 928-425-5426. Convenient Mobile Services, or CMS, 928-793-7030. Dixon Rock and Materials, 602-677-9129. J.W. Fansler Resources, 928-200-6312. Mountain Retreat Builders, 928-701-3647. And Sullivan Paving, 928-701-4434. And all of these contractors are very familiar with our process, so it's made this process so much simpler and more streamlined that somebody can just contact one of those contractors, ask them about the work that needs to be done. The contractor will come out and do a quote and take over and do everything from there. So it's the simplest calling a contractor at this point.
Yeah.
And if you know a contractor that's not on that list that needs some work, by all means, like Carl says, the process, we've only got so many contractors and we've got 75 people out there that need help. And so if there's someone out there you know of that is licensed that could use some work, they can be added to the list. My company, Dream Pole Construction, isn't on the list. Don't call me because it's a conflict of interest for me, and I don't want to go there. But like I say, if you do know a contractor, and even if they're out of town, if they want to give a bid and look at this to kind of help some of us get some of this done, that would be good. Carl, is there any other information that you got for us? That seems to be going well. Like you said, you have some that have already been done. And that money's available, and there's no cutoff date on that House Bill 2001, is there?
No, there's no cutoff date for that. We're obviously trying to address the needs as soon as possible for the sake of having debris up and avoid future flooding incidents. And we're going to be on that sense of high alert for the next 5 or so years with these burn scars as they heal and start to absorb moisture. And you may also see a lot more county activity in these flooded areas to doing mitigation projects, as that money can also support mitigation projects on the county and local levels as well. So we're going to be doing a lot more of those. And then training and exercises with responders to prepare for future incidents. I think that what we saw from our first responders with that flooding was remarkable work. The fact that we've had 4 major flood events and not a single serious injury or death is fantastic. And we keep that up by staying diligent, by training, by exercising. And that's what we intend to do, as well as taking mitigation efforts. So
and also
that's kind of our plan for the future with that money.
Also, too, Carl, people that aren't on your contact list for emergencies, do you want to give that information, that, because we can let them know if the flood is coming now that we've got the rain gauges and things out, or if there's something going on in their area?
Oh, absolutely. So Everbridge is the program that we utilize. So one common misconception about Everbridge is a notification system. And we hear a lot, you know, of people refer to it as an app. There is an app for Everbridge, but that's not all that it is. It's as simple as having your phone number on a list. You can sign up for that program at www.readyhela.com/Everbridge or by calling that call center number that I gave earlier. And there's an option for signing up for Everbridge, and it's as simple as leaving your address and phone number. So how Everbridge works is, in the event of an emergency, we draw basically a shape on a map, and that's the target area for that emergency message. And the emergency message is delivered to people via text message, email, and phone call. It doesn't have to be a smartphone. It can be an older cell phone. It can be a landline, any kind of phone. It can receive the call, and the message will come by voice. So it's a remarkable program. It's made a dramatic difference in the way that we look at public safety as far as evacuations and emergency notifications. So but it is an opt-in program. This is not something that you get notices for if you do not elect to do that. So to receive those notices, you have to either go online and sign up or call the call center and provide your information.
Okay. Yeah, and it's not just for floods. It's like, you know, during the fires, if there was smoke in a particular area that was damaging, you know, could be damaging to people with the breathing problems, that Everbridge would let them know. The floods, anything that may come up that may be a health hazard, Everbridge would contact that area and let them know of the dangers in their area. And I do a lot of public meetings, and I've had people say, well, I don't think Everbridge works. And it's like, why is that? And they say, well, because they haven't called me. You know how you get the test on the radio and stuff? And people say, well, I haven't been called. And it's like, well, that's a good thing, because we don't do test calls with Everbridge. If you don't get contacted, that's a good thing. There hasn't been any emergencies in your area.
Okay, I'm going to take you to task, Carl, and you probably already know where this is going. And that is for the flooding. National Weather Service was terrific. We got countless EAS alerts. For the fire from the county, we got zero. And there are times when Everbridge can't and won't work, but the radio will. Why are you not utilizing EAS for these messages?
So a lot of the reason that we don't utilize EAS for small-scale messages is because it, I mean, I'll say this, it's in a sense older technology, and it targets using cell phone towers. An example of where that went wrong was an evacuation notice was originated by Maricopa County for the Apache Lake Marina. Small area, and it was broadcast through EAS, so it hit Roosevelt, Globe, Miami, and a portion of the East Valley. So it's not able to be targeted in the same way that Everbridge is.
Well, it is
Everbridge,
with...
I can select...
It is with a message.
Sorry, go ahead.
Just like National Weather Service, it can be very targeted with a message you choose to give. You can easily, at the beginning of it, say, this applies only to. It's very easy to use, and there may come a time when Everbridge will not work for a variety of things in given emergencies. Radio always will work, and discounting it, I think, is inexcusable.
Well, I understand that, but I also have to look at running the risk of messaging going to the wrong people. So that message that I gave you the example of, there was panic in the East Valley, there was panic in Globe, Miami, and there was panic in Roosevelt for a message that was sent to a specific targeted area. So, I mean, it's a risk versus reward. There's no perfectly right answer on that, Raleigh, to be honest with you. But that is why that decision was made.
Well, again, you easily in your message can talk about where it is targeted and where it is not targeted. I just found that astounding, considering that, as I say, NWS gave, if nothing, almost too many EAS alerts, sometimes 17, 20 a day. But we were happy to air them because of the importance of this. And it seems that the county just discounts EAS at every turn.
It's not that it's discounted. It's just it's a great tool for mass notification. The event that you're talking about is a notification for specific areas. So, again, I understand that you can put the selected area in the messaging.
Yes.
But a lot of times in evacuation order, people hear evacuate and there's panic. And we have seen incidents such as Hawaii where an evacuation order hitting the wrong area can be dangerous.
Well, that didn't hit the wrong area. That was a horrible instance, and it had nothing to do with targeting areas. The message never should have aired anywhere, and certainly we all understand that. If they claim the ICBMs are cresting the pole, we're all going to get worried. So, yeah, things do happen, but the Hawaii thing was not because it was too widespread. It never should have run.
No, precisely, but what I'm saying is the messaging getting to people that's not correct. If somebody gets an evacuation notice that is meant for Central Heights, and they live in Apache Junction, that's not correct messaging. And EAS just cannot be targeted in that sense.
All right, so you basically won't use EAS.
No, that's not necessarily true. We won't use EAS for something that is for a specific and small-scale area. EAS is a fantastic tool for countywide or statewide or even national messages, which is what it was created for. It's just not a useful tool for targeting a small area in a rural county. Now, if we lived in a county that had a cell phone tower on every single peak, we might be in a different situation. But we're in a rural county with very few cell phone towers that creates very large areas.
Okay.
Right. I'm good.
Yeah, I could go many places, but I just hope you finally did fix the machine so that the messages do record more than a minute.
That might work.
Yeah, it would be nice.
It's functioning and it can record more than a minute, but again, it's a targeting issue that I have trouble with.
Yeah.
Because I mean, our phones blew up after that incident with the EAS system for Apache Lake, and I would just hate to create that sort of panic out otherwise. And also, we did create a media group within Everbridge, so when those emergency alerts go on, I believe your station has signed up for it as well. You receive those messages.
We don't receive them because I basically discount all of that, to be honest with you. We don't get them. And if we do, we don't act on them. That I don't consider that to be a reliable source. Sorry, Carl.
Well, I'm glad I brought this subject up, yeah. Carl and Holly. Yeah. I'm really glad I brought this up. Oh, holy smokes. Well, you can tell this is live, not rehearsed,
because
that's where we go with it. And so, anyway, moving on. Rolly, are you good?
Yeah.
Okay,
sure.
Carl, are you good?
Absolutely.
Okay, Carl, thanks very much for the information, and maybe we get with Michael and see what we can do about working with radio to help us with our Everbridge or try to work out something to where we don't have this difficulty, apparently.
Yeah, things like Everbridge, things like Facebook, things like social media, we discount all of that. If we get it from an official source directly, that's different.
Okay, good.
So Everbridge isn't an official program.
No, I need to hear it from you, from your department, not from a recorded message going out to the masses.
Okay, guys, can we bounce off of this for a minute? You guys can take it up later.
No, we'll never take it up. It doesn't matter. We just won't air it.
Take it up. Okay, if they won't air it, Carl. If you have to contact them personally, maybe that's something we can work on in the future, or not. But anyway, okay. It's my minute, and unless Rolly wants
Carl.
To investigate this further, or no, okay.
Yeah, thanks, Carl.
Carl, thank you very much for helping us this evening, and for your information that you brought us on the help that we're trying to do for the flood victims. And I've got a little bit of time left, so I'm going to go into the Census Redistricting Advisory Committee.
All right, Carl, I'll let you go unless you want to hang on.
All right, thank you, guys. I have another call I have to take anyways, but I appreciate your time. Thank you guys
so
much.
Absolutely, thanks. Bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye. And I guess we don't have anybody that has called in.
No, and I'll give you the number again, but 888-876-5593. It's 888-876-5593. It's toll-free no matter where you are. And again, a number of people, maybe you're driving or whatever, don't want to call. If you want to hear it, this show is kept in perpetuity. Just go to kqss.net. You'll get a link right on the homepage.
No, thank you, Rolly. And just real quick, I'd like to go over the Census Advisory Committee, because we appointed them on Tuesday. And that committee consists of Robert Hirschberger, James Moore, Carla Raymond, Gerald Woodward, Alfred Guerrero, Jose Medina, Judy Moorhead, Sherry Rice, Tanner Hunsaker, Mary Marshall, Mickey Nye, and Larry Stevenson. And then there were two alternates, and that would be Bill Marshall and Mike Pastore. And so I'm looking forward to this committee going forward with our census material to see about where we're going with redistricting. And I've had people ask, do I expect? And, well, I think in the last 10 years we have had people move around. We've had people move in. We've had people move out. I would imagine that our count would be different. So I almost expect some small changes, not any huge changes. Because I think there's certain boundary areas that there can't be huge changes, but as long as if there has been things moved around, I almost expect some small changes, but we'll see as this advisory board gets input from the public, and they'll be reaching out to the public with some information so that the public can help this committee with mapping on where they think the districts should go. And it's not only it's for the college, it's for the county, it's for state legislature, so I'm looking forward to see kind of how that goes. This committee will only do Gila County and the college. It won't deal with the state census. If some of the state legislature districts change, this committee's not doing that. They're just doing the county.
Well, it sounds like a great group, but that's interesting. I had always thought that, well, a district was a district. In other words, so is it possible to have federal district boundaries be different from state and state district boundaries be different from county?
Yes. They've changed a lot. And And like there's two different legislatures in Gila County District 2,
right?
Because where the state drew the lines, and also too there's a couple different city districts within District 2 of Gila County, and so yes, their boundaries are different, and can be because the lines are different depending on what representation that particular body of people need. And so going forward, that'll be interesting to see. And this board was picked, I believe that I know for sure that it's scattered out between different parties as well as independents.
Sure.
And there could be no more than five of one party out of these people that would be in one particular party. So,
no, it sounds like a very nice diverse group.
So yeah, and so I'm looking forward to getting in to more of that. And I guess that's about all I have for this trip, unless you have a question or something to ask me, or we have somebody calling in.
Nope. I was very curious about redistricting, so I'm glad you covered that, because I knew we were last month talking about that. So this will affect people locally, but now let's say somebody is interested in, say, federal redistricting, because obviously when you've got the census every 10 years, everything's up for grabs. How do they get involved with that, or how do they find out about that, do you know?
Not right off. I apologize. I can get that information and get back to you. But like I said, I try to focus local.
Sure.
I get too spread. I get, you know, with the pandemic and the fires and the flooding, I've sucked up a lot just coming back to local and my help here, because I sit on national boards and I sit on state boards, and I've kind of limited my time with some of those boards just to try to stay local and
sure.
try to focus on what we're trying to accomplish here. I would guess that if you were interested in state and how that's running, you can call your state legislator. And I hope you know who that is, because you voted for him and it changes depending on where you live.
Yes.
And same with federal, who's representing you federally. And I would believe that they have a local office that could be called for people that may want to get more information on either state or federal level.
Terrific.
And so anyway, that's what I would recommend right off the top.
All right, so we'll do it next month?
We'll do it next month, and I will get my calendar up in front of my assistant and see where we're at, and we'll try to get some dates set up between now and first of the year.
Terrific.
And if there's anybody that would care to have me bring information to the radio, being they don't call in, if there's something you're interested in, if there's something you'd like to know, my number is 928-402-4418, and that's my county office, which comes to my county cell phone. And my assistant is Terry Links, and her number is 928-402-4417. So if you'd like to know about anything, you know, that the county's doing, what projects are we looking at? If there's any information that you would like me to share with you on the radio, let me know so I can bring that information to the show.
Do you have an email address that you'll share?
I do. It is T Humphrey, Humphrey, at Gila County, AZ.gov.
Okay, great. AZ.gov. And I'll have these on KQSS.net as well,
sure.
Along with the replay. So if you missed any of this, we'll get all the information there. And by all means, next time, call in. All right, because we may go door to door. It may come to this.
We might have to go door to door.
That's right. You right out of your house and put a phone in your hand.
But yeah, like I say, if there's information you'd like me to bring to the table, let me know. I work for you, and if I don't know what you need or want, then I'll just keep doing what I think's best. And so if you've got an opinion, let me know.
And not only that, now Globe Miami, it's as close as your radio. I want you to know that Roosevelt and Northern County, they show up your other district areas. They show up to your meetings. They have things to say. We're silent.
They
change that.
Geisela, my Geisela meeting here couple Saturdays ago. There was like 16 people show up at the meeting in Gaisela. And so, you know, I had my Claypool meetings here at Tri-City, and very, very seldom did I have more than 4 or 5 people there. And that's including me and my assistant. And so that's why I thought I'd try the radio. There's got to be more listening than 2 or 3, I'm hoping.
Yeah, me
and
too. So,
but if there's, and yeah, I mean, is that all we can do is advertise and let them know?
Absolutely. All right. And again, it makes it easy. So if you don't want to call, fine. We've got the numbers for you to call off the air, as well as the email address, and you can hear the replay. And until next month, that's a wrap.
Raleigh, thank you.
KQSS Miami.